You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Carm Report wherever you get your podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media, A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can always read my work on ESPN.com. In a minute, I'll be joined by the voice of the Commanders, Bram Weinstein, as we go over the offseason to date for Washington. And of course, then look ahead to the draft because the next month is going to be dominated by draft discussion. So buckle up for that. And also one little programming note on next week, I'll be joined by ESPN NFL draft and analyst Matt Miller, who can also go over a lot of the free agency signings that Washington had. He has really good insight on ESPN Plus. So I want to have him on. So I'll be talking to him next week and play that next week. So before I get to my conversation with Bram, one little quick nugget, because they did sign a guy on Thursday, receiver, and I want to make sure I get this right, Olamide Zaccheaus, who played, obviously, he played in Philadelphia last year, but had a couple decent years with Atlanta a couple years ago, caught 40 passes. So he's a guy that can help in the slot and provide some depth for them. Still need a big receiver. So see, I would think they would do something in the draft at that position as well, because I think they still need a solid third guy. Could De'Ami Brown be that guy? Maybe, but we've been waiting to see that for a couple of years. So if I were them, I'd go out and get another guy. Anyway, that's it. Here's my conversation with the voice of the Commanders, Bram Weinstein.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Bram, I don't think you've been on since they started free agency. And now we're obviously less than a month before the draft. But I do want to get your thoughts on free agency first. What you thought, what guys jumped out to you? Who are you most excited to see?
I think overall, I would describe it as aggressive but disciplined. They did not do a single deal that really affects their cap beyond the next couple of seasons. Most of them are one-year deals. Most of them are cap-friendly. They still have a lot of room to work with. And they certainly reset the baseline of the roster. Now, like a lot of these deals, Bobby Wagner, Jeremy Chinn, a number of the others, they are one-year deals. So, you know, these are not long-term fixes for them, but they are certainly upgrades from where they were at specific positions. And I'm still waiting to see, because I think we all know they need a tackle and they need a cornerback. Will that be addressed in free agency or the draft or both? So I think, and maybe another wide receiver too. So I think there are still like boxes to check, and I'm still waiting to see if free agency is part of that. The draft clearly is going to address the most important void that they have. And then of the players that they selected or that they signed, that I'm really excited about, Frankie Louvu probably stands out most to me. Bobby Wagner stands out, even if it is only going to be for about a year. This is a Hall of Fame player they brought in here. This is not like when Rivera brought Thomas Davis a few years ago, you know, for his first year to kind of set tone in the locker room, player he knew. Davis was really at the end of his career. And I think Wagner's at the tail end of his career, but could still play. He proved that last year. So, I think he's going to have an impact on the field, unlike Davis, who wasn't. But I think could play the same role in the locker room. So those two really, really, really stand out to me as ones that I'm interested about. Jeremy Chinn, too. I want to see how they use them. I think that'd be an interesting one.
You look at this roster. this is the kind of a two-part thing, because it's just looking apples to apples here. Is the roster, how much better is the roster, do you think, from the end of the season?
Significantly. I think they have a lot more depth at certain positions. They have acquired, hopefully, starters. The offensive line should be better with Tyler Biadasz. Hopefully, Nick Allegretti is what they think he is. But again, they didn't spend a lot of money. So if he does not turn into a premier starter for them, it's not like they've made a bad choice and it's hamstrung their cap or anything like that. But that's hopefully, you know, that that works out. I still think there are, you know, clearly voids there. The defensive line, is it better than a year ago? Well, if you count Montez Sweat and Chase Young not being here anymore and replacing them with the players they replaced them with, yes, it is better. But like, is the defensive line potentially as effective as it was when we were going into the season last year? I think it's very hard to say. So they have depth and there are still holes on the team. The linebacking core is eons better than what it was, you know, from a year ago. But again, there are still holes. And then, you know, safety is interesting. The Chin signing is really, I think, is probably more of a sign of the style of play they're going to play, that they're going to be a more aggressive blitzing group, because that's where that is at his strength. So I'm not even sure I'd call him a safety. So what does that group look like? It's kind of hard to tell.
You like, because that's one of the things Dan Quinn was talking about during the owners meetings breakfast that we had, coaches breakfast we had there in Orlando, was exactly that. Do you like what you heard in that regard?
In what, the we're gonna
the
we're
aggressive blitzing, more man?
I mean, honestly, like, yeah,
it's hard not to.
It's hard. Well, and also look at their track record. I mean, they have been a turnover machine wherever they've been, whether it's Atlanta, Dallas, Seattle. The Seattle, I think they had really high level talent when he was there, Legion of Boom type of stuff. Atlanta turned into a turnover machine. Dallas, I also believe, has some really high level tilt like players on their side. So I think that helped them build what they got, but still the scheme had a lot to do with it. And listen, Deron Bland broke the record for pick sixes last year because teams are forced to make quick decisions. He's jumping routes. Trayvon Diggs the year before, and I think he's a really good corner, but like the year before broke a Dallas record for single season interceptions. Like, this isn't a coincidence that they do this. So yeah, I love that this is coming here. That also leads me back to that there are holes that need to be filled, including corner. I don't believe they have a number one corner on this team right now. So I think that that's something that's going to have to be addressed, whether it's free agency or the draft, or in my opinion, more likely free agency, because I think we know what they're doing with their high picks.
Right. And so we can stick, like, I'm going to stick with one more thing on the roster too. And this is something I always bring up when I talk about, because I've asked a couple of the people, do you think the roster is better? And what I come back to is how much better. Sometimes I'm not sure. I think there's some areas where it's certainly much better. Linebacker is much better. And even if they hadn't added Bobby Wagner, I'd say it's much better, because I am that high on Frankie Louvu. But I also think that Wagner has a lot left. They think he has something left, and they know a little bit more than I do. But I think his value will be pretty high. But I also will say, I think the way they're going to use him is significant. Use this defense. The coaching will be significantly better than what this group was. So even if the talent is not a huge amount better, I think the way they're going to use them is. And I think the scheme will be that. And it's, you know, it's funny because, Ram, it's not like there's only so many schemes you can run defensively. But I think it's the aggressiveness, what you call it, the desire to create some chaos with your looks and the disguises and all that, and not, you know, making it a complex defense that doesn't have to be complicated, if that makes sense. So that's some of the things that I'm looking forward to seeing, and how that, what the result from that is.
Yeah, I think, and this is why they still have a lot of cap room, but have signed 14 players, or, you know, whatever the number is by now, is that I think we can all agree on this. They signed a lot of good players. Some of them are clearly starters and are clearly upgrades from where they were, you know, Louvu and Wagner, and potentially Chin, if he can stay healthy, really symbolize that. Allegretti, if he, you know, ascends to being a starter, can obviously be that and give help on the offensive line, which needed a lot of work. But I think, like, the way I look at it is this: who are the difference-making players that they signed? Like, I didn't really see that. But I think their team is better, but it's also priced accordingly. Like, I'll go back to the beginning of this. Like, they didn't overpay for Dorrance Armstrong. They didn't overpay for Wagner or Chin or Louvu, in my opinion, you know, who I think is the most probably ready to be a difference-making type. I'm with you. I'm very excited about him of all the players that they got. I think he could be a difference-making player for them. But everybody else, just go look at the list of the players that they signed, the price point, the length of the deals, they can get out of them if they have to. I guess Eckler would fall into the category that he could be a difference-making player for them if he looks like the guy that he was a couple of years ago, you know, pre the injury from a year ago. But even in his case, you know, it's a low-risk, high-reward type of deal. If he doesn't turn out to be Austin Eckler of 2020 or 2021, they can get out of it after a year, or right. They do have a cheap, you know, alternative running back for 2 years. Like, it's not a bad deal. So all of these deals are priced accordingly, and they all show you that they didn't take a big swing for anybody. And therefore they are trying to collectively, I think, baseline this group again, put together a better roster, which I think in the end they do have right now than where they were a couple of months ago. There were a lot of boxes to check. I think it's very telling about what they thought about the roster and the players that were not under contract, because not many of them are back, or the ones that are backups. So they had a lot of work to do. I think they've accomplished a lot of it. They still have flexibility, and they still have the possibility of making the big swing here. And I've talked about this on my show. I haven't talked to you about it here, but like I've talked about it on my show. Because they still have all this cap room, doesn't mean they're going to spend it all, but like, because they still have it, there is a move that could be made. So I still think there is a distinct void at corner and a distinct void at tackle. They couldn't get everything done in free agency, and there may not have been the players they wanted, you know, to actually spend the money on in free agency for those particular positions. And I really believe that about tackle. I still think a trade is possible here. They have so much draft capital that it's possible that they could try to lure a top tier corner, unlikely a left tackle, people don't trade those, but like a corner for a high draft pick and pay them. And that's where I think the swing could possibly come, but that's just my guess.
And that's just a guess, because there hasn't been any, I haven't heard any sort of buzz in that regard, but yeah. I think as long as you have cap space, you know, this is what I always say with that. And it's funny, knowing this regime, knowing Josh Harris, they explore every option. So if Josh Harris is around, it's like, hey, we need a corner. And it's like, well, what are you looking to do? Well, just to draft one. Well, what about this scenario? What about that scenario? You've got to come up with answers for him. So if they wanted to go out and trade for a corner, then it's going to be, what's the cost? What's the contract like? You know, what, you know, how many picks you're going to give up? I also know like Adam Peters really, really wants those draft picks. And so yeah. I just, the one thing I wonder is, what they think of some corners they could get in the second round, because listen, I think we talked yesterday, just we both can see a scenario where they trade back into the first round to get a tackle.
Correct.
Then, so you're obviously using some of your draft capital to move up to do that. Can you then get the corner you might want to play the style you want and go from there? That's going to be the question. And if you're not sure about the depth at that, there's good depth there, but if you're not sure you're going to get the guy you want, here's the funny thing, Bram. So last year, like Joey Porter was not a guy that was on that. I mean, these guys certainly scouted him. I think there were definitely things they liked. They just didn't feel that he would fit their defense. He's kind of a guy that would fit this defense. So, you know, oops. But again, like that's a different regime, so you can't do anything about it. But, you know, that's a guy that went a little bit later. And so maybe you get a guy that can play that style that you want. Without having to give up capital, and then you're not having to pay the guy right now. But there aren't a lot of guys that you're going to have to pay anytime soon. And so that's what they have to hope is you hit on this class and those impact players you're talking about, they have to kind of start to develop from this class.
Yeah. You know, they have two high second round picks and a few third round picks. So I went into free agency going like, obviously they need to get a tackle. But there weren't ones in free agency that you're going to spend a ton of money on. So, and that's not unusual. Most people don't let tackles get to this point. So it was going to be hard.
Most do not.
Did they love, you know, one of the guys that was available enough to quote unquote overspend? Well, I think they showed their discipline with that. They were not interested in overspending on anybody really. And they decided that this wasn't the right person on the open market to go after. And there were others like Tyron Smith who were older, you know, bridge players, get 1 year. They didn't do that either yet. Now, they still could do this at a later date, but it just reads to me like it's going to be addressed in the draft and probably not, obviously, with the number two overall pick. But with all that draft capital and a very deep pool of first-round worthy tackles coming into the draft, I think they surmised we're going to get one way or the other. whether we get lucky and one of our, the guys we really target and like is going to literally fall into our lap with that first, second round pick, or if we have to, which I kind of believe might be the case, they package up a couple of picks to move back into the first round and get a tackle. Cause just go read the board right now. I mean, four quarterbacks are going in the top five, at least two or three receivers are going in the top 10. We have like at least two tackles are going into the top 10. We haven't even gotten to best defensive players on the board yet. There's going to be a lot of guys in the probably 12 to 20 range that are going to be very interesting to them at that position. So do they make a move to go get one, or do they just hold off and say, I think we're going to get our guy early in the second round. We'll just have to see how it plays out, but they have to get a tackle. Like I don't really see any other way. And if for some reason it doesn't pan out through the draft, I believe they'll sign a veteran to try to bridge it for a year.
You okay with left tackle, rookie left tackle, rookie quarterback?
I think I kind of have to be. I think you kind of have to be. I think we've seen with Cornelius Lucas, because they re-signed him, he's very valuable as a swing tackle. I just don't think he's a 17-game player tackle. So, you know, if that is kind of like a bridge for a couple of weeks, you know, or a few weeks that leads to it, or he's kind of waiting in the wings just in case the rookie needs a little bit more time, I think that's okay with me. But I've been kind of, you know, the way free agency's played out, I don't know, you better get accustomed to it, because it appears like that's the way it's going.
Sure. And so you're not buying when Adam Peters says they'd be okay with Lucas or Trent Scott at left tackle?
No. I'm not. I'm buying most of what they're selling. That one, I think, is one that I don't believe. But you know what? You're like, go ahead. Try to sell me on that one. All the other stuff, I'm trust me, I'm all in on buying. But that one was I don't believe that.
And I like Cornelius Lucas for the role he's in. And for people who wonder why not, like, just kind of read the league. Like, he's been a free agent a couple times after he's played some, you know, more than a few games. And he keeps coming back here as a swing tackle. So if other teams saw him in that light, he would have been elsewhere, because I think
he
clearly would have wanted a chance to go somewhere to start, and he hasn't. So this is how the league views him. So that's why you have to get it. And I think people understand this, that you're going to get a left tackle that's got to come and play. Then you can do things to help a rookie left tackle just through scheme, whatever. And, you know, sometimes they're going to have to produce. You'd be a high pick. You've got to play. You can't be babied along. So And that's why maybe you get a quarterback who can maybe make some guys miss and you know, help the left tackle. So
yeah, I think it was great that they got a veteran center.
Yeah,
it's huge. I mean, like, for all the things we're talking about on the edge, where clearly it's probably going to be young and inexperienced, I like that we have a veteran that knows what he's doing in the center position. Cosme's the one carryover I felt really good about. You know, I think he's graded out really well. I mean, the eye test will tell you everything you need to know. On a team with probably where mobility is going to be utilized by the quarterback, whether it's Daniels or May for that matter, he's going to be, I think, a very, very good player in an offense like that. Like, he can move. He's a very athletic player. So I think he's going to like this. And then, you know, on the other side with Allegretti, or the former Texans center that used to be a teammate of Biotish, I think they're hoping that they're going to fill the gap there, and they're hoping they got a hit on Allegretti. And I guess we'll find out in the summer and then into the, you know, the preseason, is he really starter worthy? Because I think he's probably in line to do it, but he didn't do it in Kansas City. And hopefully that's the case for him here. I think that's the one they're kind of just taking a leap of faith, spent a little bit of money. And if he doesn't become that, he'll be a backup, but he's not making so much money that you can't, like, you know, eat it on it.
Right, right. And I know a lot of people are like, why, what about Andrew Wiley? And it's really hard to, first of all, to fill every single hole that you have in one offseason, period. Then it's also really hard to find that many more new starters again from outside the organization, because that's where all these guys are coming from, outside of Cosme, of course. So it may be that you have to live with Wiley for another year at right tackle. And then
it looks that way.
Yeah. It does look, because it's good. I can't imagine you want to go in the draft saying, hey, we're going to get two tackles in the top 100 picks and then roll with.
It's also going to be a different offense, John. Like, he may be better in it. Like, he's a veteran. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't think he's terrible. Like, I don't, you know, is he the best right tackle in the NFL? No, but like, in a different offense that maybe takes advantage more of his athletic skills. You never know. It might be better results with him over there. I'm more open-minded about him. It's clear as day they need a left tackle, but like I'm more open-minded about let's give it another year with Wiley and see how it goes over there.
And I, the other part of it is you don't want him dropping back to pass protect as many times as he did last year. And I don't think that's going to happen, short of them falling behind by 20 points in the first quarter of every game. The other part of it too, I'm with you. Biotis to me was a huge signing. And I think Allegretti too, because they're run blockers. And I think that, and I think Biotis being able to call protection, all that is a huge help to a rookie quarterback. I thought that was imperative.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, ziplining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kind. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kind. Let's get to the quarterback now, because that's obviously going to be, try to stay away from it for about 20 minutes. Because, you know, we've talked a lot about quarterbacks, but that is still the big decision. So we'll go back to what Adam Peters said about, hey, they'd be okay with Marcus Mariota starting for a year. You say?
I think they're picking a quarterback at number two. Like, I don't.
Well, of course. But I mean, like, not having to have a guy come in right away and start. That was the point there. They're clearly picking a guy, but not having a guy come in and start, because they'd be okay if the guy had to sit and play behind Mariota. What do you say?
Okay, I mean, I'll trust their opinion on that. I would say, here's the couple things I would say about that. In having, you know, I game planned for, you know, a couple of years ago when they played him when he was in Atlanta. I think the signing of Mariota makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. Like the veteran, having won a Heisman Trophy, having been a really high pick, having had ups and downs in a career, understanding what his role is now, you know, which is going to be either potentially a bridge starter here, but more likely a backup and going to groom, you know, the next, you know, franchise quarterback of this team. And the next franchise quarterback of this team is going to be a very high pick. So I like all of that from a hopefully mentorship / you know, coaching direction. He is very good in executing plays that are designed for mobility of a quarterback, which includes fakes, zone reads, all that type of stuff. He's very, very good at executing, you know, misdirection plays, you know, where I think, you know, his, you know, where he's been limited and where his career has been limited is downfield passing. And I think that that's where it's problematic, you know? And so it's hard to sit there and envision 17 weeks with him having seen years of his work And especially the last couple of years where the passing game can be limited with him back there. That said, like when they said that, like it screamed Drake May, because everyone seems to think Drake May showing up and maybe watching for a little bit might be the prudent way to go. But there is one other thing I'll say about it, because I think they're picking Jaden Daniels. So I want to say that because I know I'm hinting that I think they're going to pick Drake May.
Part of it too with Mariota, one thing I like about him is he has been through a lot. And so you are matching a quarterback coming in at two, possibly a Heisman Trophy winner, regardless, somebody coming with pressure and you know, maybe feeling like they have to be a savior. He can help with that. You know, for people reading the tea leaves, they also looked at Sam Darnold. So, and that would have been a strong option for them as well. So it's not like they said, oh, we're going to take Jaden Daniels, so let's get a guy who can do something similar, because what Jaden Daniels can do, Mariota doesn't do. You know, Mariota doesn't have the same passing ability. And I don't know how much they're going to want to run this quarterback. I think the legs are an absolute bonus to this, but I don't know that they're going to sit there and call a lot of design runs, especially if you have Daniels, only because you want to make sure you protect the guy. So I'll be curious to see with that. But I do think the things that I have liked about the way they approach this free agency, Bram, is that these coaches knew these players. So Brian Johnson worked with Mariota for a year in Philadelphia. So I think he knows a little bit about him and what he can add to that room. And I think coming here in a clear situation where it's like you are drafting the quarterback of the future. You're not coming here to really compete to start. You're coming here to basically be a backup and help this young quarterback.
Here's what I've thought about recently with all of this. I do think it's important to get off to a good start in terms of on the field. And this is, you know, no shot to be taken here at Marcus Mariota, but he's in the position he's in for a reason. And you know, he might be the opening day starter because they feel like they need to give whoever their quarterback is some time. He may end up starting more games than I would anticipate, but I'll let the coaches, you know, determine whether Jaden Daniels, Drake May, whoever is ready, you know, to go in and do that. But I do think the momentum of all this change is very real. And it needs to carry over into the season. And I'm not suggesting they have to be Houston and it has to be this quick turnaround with whoever the quarterback is. But I do believe that it is important to get off to a good start and to be exciting. And the easiest way to do that is to have a young, fresh, brand new quarterback who can do all these amazing things out there on the field. So I think they need to be cognizant of that, that there is patience and there is runway and everybody's very trusting in, you know, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, and what they've done so far has been very impressive. And let's see what they do with the draft, because they have the opportunity to hit a home run here with all this draft capital as well, at least to carry into the spring and into the summer. But then you got to play and they can't go 4-13. All that momentum just goes out the window. And I'm not suggesting that would happen if Mariota starts, but I do believe that getting off to a good start on the field, whether it means playoffs or not, but kind of being there again with the roster that they have, I think is going to go a long way towards kind of really turbocharging this entire operation, honestly. So I think they need a good start personally.
But when you say getting a young guy out there can do exciting things, who are you suggesting?
I believe in the end, they're going to take Jaden Daniels.
And why is that?
I'm no scout.
And here's
they
the one
haven't
thing
told me this, and you know, and they haven't told anybody anything. This has been an extremely tight-lipped group, and I think you're seeing a lot of here we are within a month, and go watch NFL Network, and they're confused at what they're going to do. They're not telling anybody anything, so they're playing their cards right here for sure. And I also do believe, I saw a couple interviews with Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, and they basically said the other day, you know, we haven't finished meeting with everybody, we haven't done all of our work, we haven't come to a decision. I believe them, because I do think there are more than one viable option here. I'm not dismissive of Drake May being the next quarterback of the team. And if that's the direction that they go, I'll hear them out on why they decided to go with him. These are two very different quarterbacks. So it's very different skill sets. So what they value in the offense that they're building will matter in making that decision. But, you know, in the end, for me, when I watch LSU games from last year and Arizona State games from a couple of years ago and North Carolina games from last year, to me, I want Jaden Daniels. But, you know, that's just where I am.
What is the separator for you?
Well, the athleticism is just outrageous. You know, like he's going to be able to do things that, you know, we're talking about a handful of quarterbacks can do in the NFL right now. Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray when healthy, Justin Fields, you know, like when they get out on the edge, there's not many. Josh Allen can run like this, but probably not at the top speed that Daniels can get to. So that element is enticing for sure. This is probably for another day if they do draft him. My concern with that would be I don't want him to ever become too reliant on his legs. He still needs to play the position and needs to carry the team with his arm. This is something that Josh Allen got good at throughout his career. This has been a criticism of Lamar for most of his career is that he kind of relied too much on his legs. Maybe the offense dictated him to do that. Vacates the pocket maybe a little too soon because he's super athletic, but the passing game needs to lead you in the end. So that would be something that's like at a later date I'd be concerned about. With May, I know everyone keeps like comparing him to Herbert. I don't actually see that. Like, I think he's more athletic than him. So that's why I think that there is a viable option here. He's not he doesn't have to be a traditional, you know, three-step, five-step pocket quarterback. I think he's got the traits to be that, and he's got the size and the arm and all of that stuff to do it. But you can move, which is why when they said stuff about Mariota like a few days ago about like he's integral to like what we're installing here, I don't think that that was – I think people heard mobile and thought, well, there it is. It's Daniels. And I would not describe Drake May as immobile. But he's not Daniels in terms of the top end speed and the breakaway speed and the elusiveness and the possibility of breaking a defense down with his legs. So it's hard to turn that down. And then lastly on Daniels, I think what really I'm excited about if they do draft him, he's gotten better, right? Throughout his career, go watch him in Arizona State, then watch him at LSU. He's gotten clearly better and better and better. And what I love about even telling that story is he went from Arizona State to LSU, not LSU to Arizona State. He didn't get better by playing lesser competition. He got better against better competition in a better league. So I'm high on both of them, but I'm really high on him.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point too. And that going through the transfer portal, you also have to go somewhere else, learn new players, learn new offense, learn everything new, and then succeed. And that's not always an easy thing to do. With May, the one thing that you wonder about, and you do hear from people talking about how they think he may have to sit a year or so. And, you know, so are you willing to do that? Now that's where the Mariota talk came up about, do you feel like the guy needs to play right away? It's like, no, we feel Mariota could go and do it, blah, blah, blah. Well, clearly you want to get that guy on the field soon, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, but the one thing with May that I do worry about is there's a lot of missed layups. And so there, listen, the concern with Daniels is frame. How durable is he going to be? I like him as a passer. I don't think he relies just on his legs. I think his legs are a weapon and weapon out of like, okay, I looked here, looked here, looked here. Wow, there's all this open field. I'm going to go. Nobody's open. I've got this. And there's sometimes you might miss a throw because of that, but I don't think it's, I think there are other quarterbacks who have relied more on their legs. Heath Shuler was a one read and go guy way back in the 90s for those who remember him. And it's why he struggled as an NFL passer. I do not view Jaden Daniels the same way. And I'm with you, like May to me, he's a good athlete. He's not a great athlete comparatively to in the NFL, but it's the missed layups. How do you do there? And I think when you ask people about what goes with you from college to the NFL, typically it's inaccuracy. So if that's an issue for you, then that's going to be one that you're going to be concerned about. So, but you know, then you hear the upside, but he doesn't have the same floor as some of these other guys either, according to people that I've talked to. So it is an interesting choice though. And are you, you know, here's the other thing too. I always ask people, just like with the coach search, do you trust this group? Do you trust Josh Harris and Adam Peters to make the right choice on a coach? Now, do you trust all three of them to make the right choice on a quarterback? So that's where, you know, there's going to be things that they know that we just don't.
Yeah, it's a tough decision. It really is. I thought, I saw an Adam Peters clip from the owners meeting the other day, and he just outwardly said it. He goes, it's a big decision. Like, and it's not an easy one. You know, if they had the number one pick, whether they thought Caleb Williams was the right choice or not, at least perceptually it is. I think the Bears don't have a hard choice here. Like, because if Caleb Williams doesn't turn out to be what everyone thinks he may be, and he just turns out to be average or whatever, which I'd be surprised by, but if that were to happen, they could always lean back on, there's not a person on earth that thought we should have taken somebody else. Like, in this case, you know, if one of the others becomes way better, like what happened in Carolina last year, that they took Bryce Young and CJ Stroud was to the moon immediately. And it looks like, and I think their careers have just started. So, you know, don't kill Bryce Young yet. Let's wait and see what happens. But the early returns are not good for the choice that was made. Like Washington's in this position where they have a very difficult choice to make. And the likelihood of both of them being great is slim. So this is a very, very, very difficult decision to make. And on Daniels too, I mean, the one thing that does, I'm with you on this frame. That's a little, I mean, he's tall enough, obviously, but his frame is light, but I always feel like he could put some weight on probably over a couple of years, hopefully, to kind of help himself. The hits he took in college are, we talked about this a lot, you know, last time we spoke, he won't make it through games with some of these almost cartoonish like hits that he took in college. And so that worries me too. He's going to have to learn to protect himself, and he's going to have to learn that he can't outrun everybody. RG3 learned this one the hard way. Others have too. Sam Howell took way too many hits last year. I don't like, this is a game of attrition. By the end of the year, Howell was beat up, like really beat up. I don't want to see that with another quarterback. Obviously rookies learn on the job. They're going to take hits. Some of the ones he took in college were of his own making, and in the NFL, they're going to hurt more. So hopefully he'll learn that lesson if he is the quarterback.
Yeah, and I think the one difference between, to be honest, for me, between Daniels and Howell, because they both run, Daniels, I think, is a quicker processor too. So I think that proved out in college, and he was throwing more NFL concepts defensively against him. We had to read after the snap, and you see that. And I think that's one thing that would excite a lot of coaches. So, you know, I think that's one thing in his favor. But to me, even more so than the weight that he might gain, because if he's at 205, 210 versus 220, is that going to make a big difference if you're running a lot? I would like to see him develop as a, hey, here, just throw the ball away. Here, get down, run out of bounds. You get 5 yards less, but you're saving yourself. Like, so it's the mentality, you know, I think he can improve in that area. And so if he does, like that to me would be bigger than the weight and absorbing more hits. Find a way to take fewer hits, because that's what's going to help him stick around. And if he does that, then, you know, then I think he's a guy that can play a long time in this league.
Yeah. You know, the other thing too is like, and there was a major rule change with the hip drop tackle thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is going to affect the running quarterbacks. You know, they're already protected, but the ones like him that are more willing to not slide potentially, I still think you should protect yourself, but to not slide like Lamar or Josh Allen or a couple of the others, this may affect how defenders try to get to them. I think this is going to be more important for trying to bring down running backs and receivers, but it is a quirk to all of this. If you're going to bring in an athlete like this, where once again, defenders are limited in their options of how to bring somebody down. And I think it's going to play a role specifically against teams with very mobile, dangerous running quarterbacks.
What else do you like what they've done around him, meaning rookie quarterback? Do you like what they've done around a possible rookie quarterback as far as building the roster and maybe the mentality they may play with? Is it the right one from what you've heard?
And yeah, I think so. I mean, I love the Eckler signing from that perspective. The guy's a gamer. Like, does he still have what's left in the tank to be really effective? We'll find out. I love Brian Robinson. I'm glad they're talking about him. Like, I think that's a really good sign. Zach Ertz, veteran, great. You know, even if it's just a bridge for a year, veteran, like, you know, guy in the room is going to know the offense, know it can be a good veteran leader for them. The offensive line is still a work in progress. It's not complete. They need a tackle. So from that perspective, that job's not done. Receiver's not done. I think we need a third receiver in here. So I don't know who that's going to be. There's one other minor thing, and this is just kind of because the kickoff rules change, we need a kickoff returner, like a real one now. So they got to think about that here the rest of the offseason, whoever that's going to be. And then defensively, like I'm trusting in what I'm seeing that's being built out there. I do think they need a number one corner, but I do think that this team is going to be potentially way better, at least results wise on that side of the ball, especially at the linebacker position with the way that they bolstered that. I mean, there's boxes to check for sure, but like I'm pretty bullish on Dan Quinn and his defense showing up here, the signings they brought in, and that it's going to be a difference in year one. And to what degree of difference, I don't know, but a difference in year one. It won't be like it was a year ago.
I think that's where, you know, I actually had a story on this in ESPN just on, what they've done to bolster the philosophy and the moves to bolster or help a rookie quarterback. And listen, stressing the run game is a massive deal. Like, no, I think Sam Howell had the most pass attempts in the NFL, and he was in the top three of pass attempts in the NFL in the first half. It wasn't just because they were falling behind. It was because of a bad philosophy that the way that you can help them develop is by getting them, you know, dropping them back 45 times a game. And Brian Robinson had I think he had the 32nd fewest carries in the NFL. Like, that can't be the case this year. So I think, yeah. And then I think the defense, just how bad they were, did not help the rookie, did not help a young quarterback. So I think the philosophy plus some of these moves will help whoever comes in as a rookie quarterback. And you're right. Like, there's still left tackle, another receiver, all that stuff. You've got to get that fixed, but I think they, you know, in one offseason, they've made it a better situation for a rookie quarterback. Anyway, let's end there, Bram, because we're going to run out of time. So thanks a lot for joining me, and we'll talk to you soon. That's it for this episode. Thanks to Bram for joining me, and thank you, as always, for tuning in. I'll be back with another episode on Tuesday. Talk to you next time.